Blessed Holy Spirit,
our Maker and our Comforter, we sinful creatures confess to you that we have often resisted your call and grieved you by our sin. Above all, that we have not cherished your holy word and sacraments as we ought. Do not leave us, O Lord, life giver, as you have had mercy from the beginning. Have mercy on us now, and for the sake of Jesus Christ, the Savior you gave us, forgive us our sins, and fill us with yourself, that our lives and words and deeds may be holy by your power, and to your praise. Amen.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all.
The earth is full of your creatures.
These all look to you.
To give them their food in due season.
When you give it to them, they gather it up.
When you open your hand, they are filled with good things.
When you send forth your spirit, they are created.
And you renew the face of the ground.
Thank you. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the Feast of Pentecost is from the fourth book of Moses, called Numbers, the 11th chapter. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is from the book of Acts, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the disciples were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared onto them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit had given them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each was hearing them speak in their own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Philemia,
Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord. What is the third article of the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What does this mean?
I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On this day of Pentecost, we rejoice in the Holy Spirit, whom our risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ still gives to the church and pours out upon her. About the Spirit, John said in our Gospel reading, the words of Jesus, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." This is our text. Basic scientific fact. No one can live without water. Water is required for life, for human life, animal life, plant life, for life of any kind. That's why whenever they send a rover off to Mars, the thing that it sounds like they're looking for most is water, or evidence of it. It's also why there's so much time and energy spent around the world on initiatives for clean and safe drinking water. Why missionaries who bring God's word to people in places like Africa at the same time bring engineers to drill wells and provide safe drinking water for the people. It's why you carry a water bottle around attached at the hip. The recommended daily water intake is 8 8-ounce glasses a day, and it's a reminder that your life depends upon this resource. You need water. The Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles, which is the occasion for the Gospel reading today, was a major Jewish festival, and it involved a ritual of water, a ritual of water that was carried out at the temple in Jerusalem. The feast itself recalled how the children of Israel had spent 40 years of wandering in the wilderness after the Exodus. The reason it was named Booths, or Tents, was because that's what the people lived in for 40 years. The feast is a week-long feast in which the people reenacted that history of dwelling in tents like their ancestors, remembering how the Lord delivered them from slavery in Egypt. And then on the last day of the feast, the great day, a golden pitcher filled with water from the pool of Siloam was brought back into the temple and poured out in the temple precincts, even on the altar of burnt offering itself. Here comes the water. What was it all about? It was a ritual that recalled God's salvation in providing his people with water. When they spent those 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, where did they find water? God provided. He provided the water from a rock, gave them a stream of water so that they would no longer thirst in the wilderness. They were afraid. They were scared. They were filled with doubt. But God satisfied their thirst, and he sustained their lives. He brought forth a stream of water from the heart of a rock, even as he would later provide life for his people by his presence in the temple. And that seems to be actually the main point of that water ritual in the temple at the Feast of Booths, not simply a way of remembering past history, but as a sign of present activity. A sign to the people of Israel, if you are looking for water, here it is, poured out in the temple. This is where God pours out his gifts to sustain and deliver his people from sin, death, and the devil. You might say that entire ritual declared to the people, your life depends on the God located here. This is where he gives the water that you need. Here, he forgives your sins and grants you eternal life. I mention this background, this history and meaning behind the Feast of Booths, because that's the occasion in which Jesus stands up in the temple and makes his proclamation. It seems like he wasn't even open about where he was going to be that week. His brothers encouraged him to go down to Jerusalem for the feast, and Jesus held back and kind of said, I don't think so. And then he showed up midweek, and then he began teaching, and by the last day of the feast, Jesus gives this proclamation. And we find, we encounter the full meaning of this feast and of this temple and of this water. What did he say? What did he do? On the last day of the feast, on the great climactic day, perhaps at the very moment that the high priest was pouring that water on the altar, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Let him come to me." Christ says that he has come for the thirsty. He has come for those who repeatedly need water to stay alive. He has come for those who dwell in fleshy tents amid a sin and death-filled wilderness. The thirst that Jesus had in mind wasn't simply a physical need for water. He wasn't saying, if you feel like you need a Gatorade or spring water from France, I've got something for you over here. He means a deeper thirst. The thirst not merely for liquid, but for life itself. For life in abundance. For a life free of lies and adultery and cancer and heart trouble. For a life free from every sin and sickness that affects us. For a life that is free from death itself. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. The Lord calls the poor, thirsty souls. He calls the burdened and distressed. He calls the sad and the guilty. And he tells them where they can find a truly quenching and satisfying drink. You might say that this is only for those who thirst. Only for those whose lips are cracked and whose tongues are parched. They're the only ones who will respond to his call. Because they're the ones who see this world for what it really is, rather than what it merely appears to be. If you go by appearances, depending on where you're looking, everything appears to be great. But if you look underneath, you see the rot. You see that it's a dry, barren, waterless, and dying place. And that's why Jesus came. It's why he still comes. It's why he offers himself in an endless supply of living water free of charge. Let the one who is thirsty come to me and drink. True life is found in him. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. He is the oasis, the fountain, the spring, the well who provides living water for all the thirsty. And he explains how to drink this living water. He says, "He who believes in me." He who believes in me. Faith is the way we drink the living water. The way we drink life that is no longer threatened by death. Believe in me. And who are you, Lord, that we should believe in you? Jesus is the one who came from the Father and became man, born of the Virgin Mary, so that he might go thirsty for us and so that he might fill us with his life-giving water. And this is how he suffered the world's thirst, suffered it. He was tempted by the devil in the wilderness for 40 days, like a new Israel. He was rejected and despised by man. He was loaded with the sins of all people, including yours and mine. He was abandoned by God the Father to undergo the pain of hell. He was crucified, died, and was buried. That is thirsty work. That is your thirst placed onto Christ's tongue and lips and taken into his body. Consider the words he spoke as he hung there on the cross. Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, "I thirst." And so we see the thirst of the world in Jesus on the cross. And there we see something else as well. St. John records it for us. As they're trying to decide what to do and how to handle things, how to wrap up these crucifixions at the end of the day, they've got to get these bodies down. They decide they're going to come through and break the legs. First guy, break the legs. Second guy, break the legs so that they will suffocate. And they get to Jesus, and he's already gone. He's dead. So what do? They take the spear, and they pierce his side with that spear. And at once there comes out blood and water. John is really clear about this. He was there. He saw it. He says, "He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe." A stream of living water mixed with his blood flowing from Jesus' body, coming out of his heart, like that rock struck in the wilderness that watered the people of Israel, like the golden pitcher poured out in the temple precincts, coming from his side. As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. When Jesus entered into his glory on the cross, he gave his life to satisfy our thirst. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. That's it. Whoever believes in him. And yet there's more. The gospel tells us that all of this, this proclamation of Jesus there in the temple, this invitation to come and drink, this living water from his heart description, this dying upon the cross for us, it was about the Spirit whom Jesus would give to the church. There are three that testify, St. John writes in his first epistle, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree. To satisfy your thirst, he pours out his Holy Spirit like rivers of living water. He gives the Holy Spirit to irrigate our deserts with his life. For the Holy Spirit brings to us and brings to the whole Christian church the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. He proclaims to us the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He breathes on us the breath of God, that new life that makes us new creatures and makes our bodies into his temples. And then he enlightens us with his gifts, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of this flowing from Christ crucified through the Holy Spirit to you and to me. Where is the Spirit given? But in the flow of blood and water coming from Jesus' pierced side. He does all this. He delivers all of this. He provides all these gifts in the blood and water that still flow in the church. Is it any surprise that two of the most central things that happen in the Christian church involve the water of the font and the blood of the chalice, and the preaching of Christ? Here the Holy Spirit is given to you. Here is the river of living water for the thirsty. Here is something for your thirst better than H2O, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit poured out for you from the heart of Jesus. And that's what we celebrate today. We celebrate the advent of the Holy Spirit again on Pentecost. We celebrate his life-giving work in the church, which happens every single Sunday. But we recognize especially today. For it is by the Spirit that you hear your pastor telling in your own tongue the mighty works of God. And it is this same Spirit who teaches us to call on the name of the Lord for our salvation. And so we do. Again today, we call upon the name of the Lord with this promise that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And still there's more to the Spirit's work. More in this gospel reading of three little verses. Not only does he satisfy your thirst by giving you the benefits of Jesus' death on the cross, but now as a Christian, you are able to satisfy the thirst of others as well. Whoever believes in me, Jesus declares, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You know what satisfies the thirsty soul. You know what this dry and barren world needs. And it's been given to you. Which means that you, dear Christian, you also, from Jesus, are a spring of living water in this dry and thirsty world. You have something to offer, something to give to your next door neighbor, to your cousin, to your associate, to your friend. You have something to give to your classmate and your employee and the person who checks you out at Market Basket. You can extend the same invitation which you received from Jesus Christ. Come and drink the water that gives eternal life. You've never had anything like it. You're like an earthen vessel, a jar of clay endowed with the Holy Spirit, able to give consolation and strength to many other people and to serve them. And this too is the work of the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus promised to pour out the Holy Spirit in a flood, he promised to give it not simply to the 12 apostles, but for the floodgates to be wide open that his salvation might be brought to the whole world. And he wants it brought here as well. And you have the Spirit not in bits or in pieces, but you have a limitless supply of comfort to show to your neighbor. Father and mother can comfort and teach their children and their neighbors to trust in Christ because they, refreshed by Christ, now pour forth streams of living water. Pastors can dispense an unlimited supply of forgiveness, even a few words or a single sermon serving a never-ending stream of living water for those who are thirsty. Husbands can pour out the water on their wives and wives on their husbands and godmothers on their godchildren and friends on one another. Through the Holy Spirit poured from his side, Jesus brings you to faith and he makes you able to comfort, instruct, teach, warn, yes, serve the entire world and help destroy death and extend eternal life. Maybe you didn't realize, maybe you forgot that this is the mission that we are on. Helping destroy death and extending eternal life. And we may say, this is too much for me, and he says, you bet it is. But it's not too much for him. And it's not too much for his Spirit, whom he pours out precisely for this reason. You need this living water. Your neighbor needs this living water. And that you might have it, Jesus was crucified and poured forth the Spirit upon the church. And that others might have it, he makes you an oasis of living water through whom the Holy Spirit calls and invites others to faith. And so, what that water ritual in the temple was meant to indicate is true of this place here. Your entire life depends on the God located in these means, located in the water and in the blood, and where the word is preached and delivered to you. Because this is where he gives you the water you need, where he forgives your sins, where he grants eternal life. So come and drink, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and serve your neighbors with the same water of life. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
The peace that passes all understanding now guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all the baptized, that the baptismal water of life may bring forth its full fruit in all we say, think, and do, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faithful pastors and church workers devoted to the service of God, who delivered his word through Moses and the prophets and fulfilled it in Christ, who died for our sins and raised for our justification, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all parents, that God would continue to pour out his Spirit upon them, to catechize their children faithfully in his word, and for the protection of expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Kelsey, Jordan, Carrie, Jamie Gale, and Jalen, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a long memory to recall those who gave the full measure of devotion to our country's peace and security and served faithfully until death in the protection of our freedom and in the defense of our land, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and everyone in any kind of need, for Ginny and for Karen and all who care for her, for Catherine, who is hospitalized and facing a difficult decision, for Jim, and especially for Kay, his daughter, as he goes on hospice care, for Katie, awaiting her transplant, Melinda, who is hospitalized, as well as Bob, Brady, Christopher, Heather and Mike, and Nicole, for patience and healing according to God's will, for Jim in his recovery, for Karen with her broken arm, for John with his health to be restored, for Paul in his recovery and Denise with her surgery, and Dan and Jen and their boys through his brain cancer, for Jack and Debbie in his hospice care, and Karen, Nicole, and Dante in their mourning, and for Gino and Keith and their family as well, that none of them may be afraid, and that they might be healed according to the abundance of God's steadfast love. And with thanksgiving for Ralph's return home, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who commune at the Lord's altar this day, that they may receive our Lord Jesus' gifts in sincere repentance and through firm faith be raised up from death to life through his forgiveness, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for the resurrection of the dead and the eternal life in Christ Jesus, and in remembrance of the faithful who have gone before us and are at rest, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty Father, with your Son, Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts through your word to rule and govern us according to your will. Comfort us in every temptation and misfortune, and defend us against every error, that we may continue steadfast in the faith, increase in love and good works, and trusting firmly in your grace, obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed be the Lord, the Holy Ghost.
For blessed is the shadow of his wings. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty.
And the Spirit of God hovered on the face of the deep.
You sent forth your Spirit, and they were created.
The Spirit of the Lord has made me. The breath of the Almighty has given me life.
We rebelled against him and grieved his Holy Spirit.
We became like a withered tree, like a garden where there is no
Blessed be the Lord, the Holy Ghost.
For blessed is the shadow of his wings. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world.
It is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
For Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by being cursed for us.
So that through faith we may receive the promised Spirit.
Come to him, whoever is thirsty, drink.
Rivers of living water will flow out of your heart.
He has sent another Comforter to be with us forever.
He will come to you like spring rain, like morning dew.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that your sins may be forgiven.
And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Blessed be the Lord, the Holy Ghost.
For blessed is the shadow of his wings. The Spirit is poured out upon us once more from on high.
The desert becomes a garden, and the barren field a forest.
He pours water on the thirsty, and streams of water on the dry ground.
He pours out his Spirit on our children.
They will grow like grass beside the streams, like poplar trees beside a river.
For the promise is to us and to our children.
Blessed be the Lord, the Holy Ghost.
For blessed is the shadow of his wings. And salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of heaven and earth are full of your glory.
On the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 25, a psalm of prayer, starting at the first verse. "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. To my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be shamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from the old. Remember not the sins of your youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my gift, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he has chose. His soul is abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes have ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck out my feet out of the net." Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
By whom our Savior was conceived in human flesh and blood, we thank you that now, with his flesh and blood, you have given us pardon and peace. Blessed Spirit, strengthen us through this holy food in faith toward you and in deep love for one another, and rule our hearts and minds with power to serve you to the salvation of souls, to the Father's glory, and to the praise of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Father, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
And the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you